More dick
all
free.
Right.
Here we go.
Pick.
PKD. Yeah.
Awesome. we're gonna have like 5.5 hours of dick recorded for this show by
the oh man. Yeah. People this is a subject that people have been looking forward to.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it too. When we first conceptualized this show, I was like, all right, well, we're gonna do PKD at some point. Kind of glad I gave it a minute, because if we just started out with it, I didn't know what we were doing. So it's good to get some practice rounds in before we did that.
What even is this show? What are we doing? It has the quality of a seance, I've realized.
A little bit. Yeah.
Dead writers, dead artists. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day should be like a seance to dead writers and artists. If you ask me, that's how I try to live my life, you know?
Yeah.
For sure, man. Yeah, we like it. We're trying to bring them back or keep them alive or something. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we don't have to stick on this, but I do want to play with this idea a little bit. So I got thinking about, like, Aldous Asterion in our episode, our previous episode, was sort of saying, like, all right, when you're talking about science fiction writers, a lot of times people call them prophetic because they predict, like, a piece of technology, or they predict, like, you know, some historical movement, you know, whatever, whatever. Whereas PKD seemed like what he was predicting was a vibe, was like a relationship to reality, was what he was predicting. And so it wasn't dependent on exactly what gets invented when or whatever. And I got to thinking about, like, okay, well, what is an example of how that's true? And I started thinking about the Mandela effect, which is, it gets a little cheesy because there's literally, like, articles like laughing about it in like every magazine around, and we've kind of forgotten about it. But there are some weird examples of Mandela effects, right? So I'm sure people know, but like the main one, it's named after Nelson Mandela, because when Nelson Mandela died, a lot of people said, oh, what? He died in like 1994. He died in prison or whatever, instead of the fact that he lived through his prison term. He got out and he became president of South Africa, blah, 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 and then died later. A lot of people had a false memory of that. Now, I've heard before that nobody in South Africa is confused about this.
Yeah.
but there's plenty of Americans who are, right? So anyway, you know, maybe that one's just a false memory. You know, it's history in another country, so I think people can very easily get it turned around in their heads. I think also when somebody is not a hugely important figure in your own culture or in your own time, and you hear about them, something lodges in your brain that they died.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like actor you haven't heard of in 20 years, you hear their name again and you don't really think about it or register it. I think your brain just says, oh, they must have died.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are some weird ones of this. So like I was kind of looking these up, and I'm going to see if I can, well, everybody knows about the Berenstain Bears one, right?
Yeah.
That's actually something LP talked about in later albums too, is the Berenstain Bears timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to give you this one, Kevin. Kevin, how do you spell Looney Tunes?
Oh no. It has an E, doesn't it? LOONEYTUNES.
Okay. Oh, you got it right. Okay. See, most people remember it as TOONS.
Oh,
like cartoons.
Yeah. I was focused more on the Looney. I would have spelled it as TOONS.
NS. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not tunes like music. Looney Tunes?
I think when they first started it, the music maybe was more of an emphasis. I'm not sure.
That's weird.
Right. I'm looking at
seems a spelling to me like the animation is more the selling point on a cartoon.
I totally agree.
Soundtrack.
Totally agree.
All right.
I'm looking at a logo with it spelled both ways, and it is a little trippy because I can't tell which one I think it should be. Right. I'm like,
yeah.
I thought it was TOONS. That's how I spelled it. So that's weird. So that's a little Mandela. That's an example of Mandela. It's small stuff, but you would expect glitches to be small, right?
Yeah.
The one other one is Curious George, tail, no tail.
Tail.
No tail. Never had a tail.
No tail
on Curious George.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Either. All right.
I'm not like.
I think a lot. I'm not so blown away by Mandela effect things.
Me neither.
I feel like a lot of these are just like where it's just lazy guessing. You know, or you know what I mean. Yeah. I think all these things can be explained by like, oh yeah, well like. Just if you surveyed 100 people, like, you know,
you're
going to remember it this like way. But it's like all these things to me, I don't know. That's what's weird to me. If there's a time god or a programmer who's changing variables in the matrix, like PKD talks about, he finds very strange. Mandela is the most like believable. Well, that seems like the most consequential one. Like, okay, yes, maybe. You know, this leader who fought apartheid, like maybe the programmer changed something. Yeah, we went in the wrong timeline. When he died, the programmer to step in and rewrite it. But like Bears and Looney Tunes like, and I don't know.
But, I agree. No, I totally agree. But there are some that trip me out. So here's one. The heart, apparently the location of your heart is dead center in the middle of your chest.
Not on the to the left to one side,
right?
Yeah,
so that's weird to me because I always thought it was supposed to be shifted slightly to the left, right?
Yeah, that's where they tell you to put your hand at least when you
your hand over your heart and everything. And apparently, no, that's not the case, it's never been the case. Your heart is in the dead center of the middle of your chest, that's
why it's called the heart.
Yeah, sure. Right. I agree. And it makes sense, like, because everything is symmetrical in the body, right?
Yeah,
so it makes sense. But, like, I feel like I was told my reality is that your heart is slightly to the left. Right?
That is kind of uncanny. Suddenly,
yeah. It's a little weird, right? And there's a handful of physical body ones, apparently. That heart one is sort of the biggest that people have been kind of pointing out. Or like, I don't know if that's... Now, that would be weird, right? Like, let's say 20 years ago, everybody's heart was slightly to the left, and then something happened and they're all in the middle now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty fucking weird.
My favorite one involving the body is, you know, there's this whole, you know, women claim there's this thing called the clitoris, but it definitely doesn't exist. It's they're just making shit up.
I haven't found it. I found no evidence of it. Yeah.
winning hearts and minds on the pod here. Thank you, Patreon.
Sorry, I just had to
know. No, that's fine.
I had to do a dick or a pussy joke.
That
is hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is the Mandela effect thing. It's funny. Like I remember reading going down a rabbit hole of there's a bunch of like little things like this. Like, have you ever heard of the Capgras? What is it? The Capgras delusion, the Capgras syndrome. I don't know if that name rings a bell for either of you guys. If that's something you're familiar with. Apparently it happens sometimes. Most of the cases of it have been related to brain injury, but not all of them. And what happens is like all of a sudden, all of your loved ones and everybody you know personally, you become convinced that they're imposters. Mm-hmm. So like, you'll literally be like, my wife is an imposter. And then you'll speculate about what it is. She's an alien. She's a CIA agent. Yeah. She's an android. But all you know is that she looks exactly like her and she's in the place that she's supposed to be, but she's not actually your wife. Mm-hmm. And otherwise you're completely functional. So it's very strange. Like, I try and imagine like the disorientation of that, right? But like it does suggest, and apparently later they've come to the conclusion that what it is there is there's some sort of like a brain circuit in people who are functioning normally that when you see somebody, you know, there's like an emotional recognition, like it triggers a sequence of events in your brain and you recognize this person, right? That's what they say.
Yeah.
In these people, that link is broken. So you see somebody who looks familiar to you, your wife, whatever, but you don't have the emotional recognition. So the conscious experience is this isn't that person because I don't feel about them the way I'm supposed to feel about them. Yeah. But like, you know, if that would have happened to PKD, he would have spent a decade writing why his wife was an imposter and trying to figure out like who had put her, who had sent her, what her mission was. Right.
Well, he actually does have a short story that basically gets into this, but it's the other way around where it's a wife with a husband. And I forget the name of it, but the basic plot is like, you know, it's in a world where there's Earth, but like these intergalactic corporations, and oftentimes, you know, you go to another planet for business or whatever, colonization. And the basic plot is like a guy who's come back from this planet. He's come home to his wife, but he's very different. And she realizes he's been sort of, he's been taken over. His body's been taken over by an alien, but he's actually a perfect husband. And then that's right, what she likes, the alien one. And then I think it's that the corporation is saying, like, don't you know, though, your husband, he got infected by an alien intelligence and he's possessed by an alien. Right. And I think the ending of the story is like she has to go to court and she's supposed to go up and testify and say, that is not my husband. He's possessed by an alien. He got possessed by an alien while working, while going to this planet. And that's why we need to like kill him, or, you know, they're like, they want to like what or whatever, take his brain out and remove the alien. And I think that the conclusion, she goes and she goes, what are you talking about? That's my husband. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Why are you trying to say that's not? Because she prefers she falls in love with the alien one. She doesn't want the old human one back. Yeah. So he kind of did, you know, even PKD has a story kind of about that sensation, but it's of course has a PKD. It's his signature subversion of it, of saying, well, what if you actually end up liking the imposter version of your spouse when you become, I don't know, whatever. Right.
They made that one. That's the one they actually turned into. There was a series a couple of years back produced by Philip K. Dick's daughter, The Electric Dreams, is on Prime Video or whatever. That was an episode of Prime Video.
Exactly. I think that's when I read it in the compilation, like where it had all the short stories.
Yeah. And actually, Bryan Cranston plays the husband, which it's actually one of the better episodes.
I never watched the show, but I read the book with all the original. But yeah, I mean,
it's just like all the PKT adaptations, most of them are terrible.
That's why I didn't watch it. And you know, I love Man in the High Castle, the book, and I've heard the Amazon show is good. I think even you guys were saying it's pretty good, but I watched like two episodes. And I just didn't get it. Nothing against it. I'm sure it's great, but just because it didn't feel like the way it was pictured in my head, I had to turn it off.
Right.
Well, the book is too perfect. I can't watch this.
Yeah. It is really like, the film and television adaptations are really like Blade Runner, Scanner Darkly, and then like way down. Well, no, then Total Recall is good. And then after that, it's like, you got to go a while before you get to a good one.
I always forget the Total Recall PKD connection. Yeah. For whatever reason, it just, I forget that.
You know, I feel like, I don't know, here's my hottest PKD take. And this is a very hot take, especially for someone who's a sci-fi writer, which is I do not like Blade Runner, the film, at all. It never, I love Do Androids, I've read that, love it.
Mm-hmm. Great book.
I watched Blade Runner before reading it, didn't get the hype, watched it again after reading Do Androids, also didn't like it again. And you know what? I was blown away. A fact that you guys dropped, which broke my heart, was the thing about that they offered him money to rewrite, do the Blade Runner version of the book and be like, because I know it's a very spicy take. It's very controversial to say you're not a fan of Blade Runner because it's like the ordained, like greatest sci-fi. But I actually have a rationalization for it. I think Blade Runner removed the most important part of Do Androids Ring of Electric. It's a completely, to me, they're very, very, very fucking different. But and the differences are all the difference. And like, I don't know, man, but
what did it kill? If you could,
to me, it's all about,
I'm not pushing
animals
back, just curious.
To me, it's all about the animals, dude, that the fucking, you guys touched on it. You said, you know, PKD heroes, they're not Harrison Ford's. They're actually like paranoid losers. Like they're broke. Like they can't manage their money. They fucking, they're bad boyfriends or husbands, whatever the fuck. And, you know, I think that's what Blade Runner did, is it just made it too much of this cool, like, you know, shoot 'em up, like, but to me, I have this like rant. I'm going to turn it into like an essay or a video rant, but like the quickest way I can say it, it's like a 10-minute rant, is basically the core, the character into Android's Dream of Electric Sleep, he really wants to get the ostrich, right? That's his driver. He's just hunting down Blade Runners. And there's this whole thing about the fake animals and the real animals, and that it's like the status symbol to have a real animal and not a fucking electric animal. And to me, that is the core, that dynamic. They basically, Blade Runner takes away the yin to the yang of, like, they make it just about, like, robots versus humans, and are you a robot or are you a human? And, like, and that's cool, but to me, the animal is the core thing where, I don't know, like, that adds this whole other layer about this bounty hunter. His job is to hunt down rogue robots, and then there's this mystery of, is he himself a robot? How can anyone know if they're human or robot? How do you ever know? Because the robots themselves don't know. But then this whole animal thing of, like, I really want a real ostrich. Like, I can't be sure if I'm a robot or I'm a human. But what I can be sure is that that's a real fucking ostrich and it's not a robot ostrich. And I worked for the, and, like, to me, that's the real core of the fucking book, is it's all about this thing of searching for a real human connection in an artificial world. And that's all about this thing of, like, I don't want the artificial animal. I don't want artificial nature. I want nature. And that's what the animals represent. And Blade Runner takes out all that shit and just makes it about robot, bounty hunter shooting robots and chasing robots and robots who want to. And it's like, but then there you lose that whole cerebral. There's the, I don't know. To me, again, I'm
I can see what you're saying.
Bash Blade Runner for 50, but I'm just saying, it's such a small thing. It's something Hollywood would do. Oh, we don't need him. Like, why do we need him? Like, looking at animals and why?
Right.
Oh, he wants an ostrich. To me, though, that's the whole fucking core. Like the whole animal thing. If you take that away, it's just it's just a cops versus robbers type story.
Right. In cyberpunk
really
land.
The philosophical layer is that whole animals thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I can
condense like a 20-minute rant.
I get that. And I can see that. I definitely hold the book and the film almost as like separate things.
I can appreciate the film as its own thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think about 2049?
The Blade Runner 2049, I watched it once, and it was also just, I was like, whatever, man. I don't know. I just don't get it. But then again, I watched Blade Runner, didn't get the hype. Then I read the book thinking, oh, well, maybe I'm going to hate the book too. Fucking love the book.
Right.
Interesting. And then to me, maybe I'm just doing selective, you know, like maybe I'm biased here, but to me, the big difference is that basically the core motive, they took away the core motivation of the main character, which is that he's like over it. He's like, I don't give a fuck. It's so fucking lame. I just hunt down robots. I don't give a fuck. I just want an ostrich. And then they took away his core motivation because they just said, well, it's just, he wants an animal. That's not really cool.
Like, these aren't good cinematic stakes.
There's so many philosophical layers that I think you lose. And when you just turn it into, well, let's just have a guy hunting robots.
I think
he doesn't really need a motive besides being badass and being best robot hunter. It's like, I don't know, man. That's my answer.
No, I hear you. That's refreshing. It is. I'm a Blade Runner, the film fanboy, but I do appreciate the counterpoint of like, there is, you actually have a really good point. There is something, because there is something about that. Okay. Trying to find the animal, it's a sort of a spiritual dimension to the experience, right? He's trying to pierce through the question of human or robot or whatever, blah, 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 and get to, having a real animal would be reacquiring the real. It's punching through all the bullshit and actually getting your hands on, you know, getting your hands on the dirt, the actual material of reality, right? That is sort of missing from that film. And there's no, I think, you know, they sort of, the question of whether he's human, I never found the question of whether he's human or not all that interesting. I found the question of whether, like, to me, almost the more interesting thing in the Blade Runner film is like, are you supposed to treat the replicants like people? Like, what do you do with these human like things that aren't humans? What is the, you know what I mean? Like,
can but even that,
is that fine? Yeah.
I mean, okay, I don't, I, this, we could go on forever about this, but to me, it's like, that is almost the most, like, you know, to me, that is where, that's where, okay. Do Android Dream of, to me, that book is about, he was writing that at a time when capitalism and industrialization was like atomizing the world and everyone's just a cog in the machine. And it's all like mass media is taken over and it's all like consumers and, you know, like whatever, all this whole free market capitalism and there's all consumer choice. And like, and to me, he took a metaphor of like what it is to be a cog in the machine, to be both a consumer and a worker and to know that you're like enslaving yourself into like, you know, and but everyone though is chasing this golden carrot at you know, to think, well, maybe I'll make it out of the fucking herd. Maybe if I step over enough bodies and I can, you know, and I think that's what this whole metaphor, there is a lot of trippy shit about just the nature of, you know, who made us and like who's, there's Prometheus type shit in that book. But to me, my little rant was about the animal represents that we all live in a fucking artificial world. We're not living in a tribal world. We're living in, we're all robots in that sense. We are all literally robots that we've been programmed by this artificial man-made society. We're not just going off of our DNA anymore. We're going also off of artificial programming. So in a sense, we all are robots. But, and then though, we're all meant to be turned against each other, or, you know, it's meant to be, in the free market, you know, go get an office job and then go make a lot of money off the other robots. And like, that's this whole, to me, that's what the man, are you a human or are you a machine? That's, is like sort of this, there's a self-awareness of like that, or I don't know, that we all are cogs in the machine. We all are robots in that way. And we're all trying to reach, but then that's why I'm saying the animals are so fucking important in the book. Cause to me, the animal represents like that carrot at the, that everyone is chasing some sort of revelatory feeling of, oh, I made it out of the fucking machine. Right. I made it out of the machine and I got my dream. And now I'm back in touch with my destiny or with nature and I'm out of the fucking matrix. And I'm like,
I'm a real boy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's what to me though is so poetic about the whole thing of the artificial animals is like, no one can tell the difference. Everyone's like, why don't you just get the fake animal? And he's like, no, man, I don't care if no one can tell the difference. I want the real one just to know. That's the only way I feel human is if I, like, everyone can just buy the robot ostrich. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I want the real one because I know that's nature. That's a human with an animal. And that makes me feel human when I'm with a real animal. When I'm with a fake, when I'm with a robot animal, I feel like a robot. And so that is, to me, I think the philosophical, political layer that is the core of what makes Do Androids Dream. But like I said, I think Blade Runner on a cinematic level, it is an amazing film. I'm not saying it's trash. I'm just saying I think Hollywood fucked up in a big way. And if they would have kept that small detail and if they just would have kept in the animals, and I think it's a completely other like philosophical movie, but by that tiny detail, just making it just about the bad robots versus the good, it made it a little too binary, I guess. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I like that. I like that. And it would be interesting to think about what that would look like on film. You know, what would have to be different plot wise and all of that. It is interesting. That's a well made point for sure.
It's hard to say. That's the thing. It might have still just ended up, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Some people maybe hate the book and love the movie, but I'm just saying, in my opinion, that's what's the big missing piece is like that thing about, I don't know. Again, it's just like you take away the central motivation of the hero and it's just, no, it's cool. It's just animals. Like, we just make it like, whatever. Oh, he just wants to be the most badass bounty. And it's no, but it's not.
Who cares?
Same
thing. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh man.
Very, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's close this down.
Thank you so much, man. Let me just get one Blade Runner take. Blade Runner always strikes me as a film about film. The film itself is like a kind of machine. It's almost like a metaphor for the movie. And you can watch Blade Runner every year and it reflects back something different to you every time. Yeah. In a way that's more intentional than other films. Like, you can say that about any film, right? But yeah, there's something going on with the androids as like a metaphor for cinema somehow. I find it very interesting. Yeah. That's my take. Yeah,
I like the test. What is it? The Voight-Kampff test?
Voight-Kampff test, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful analogy metaphor for me. I like that. Yeah.
Again, I have to say, I still love Blade Runner. That is one of the most awesome like opening scenes of any. I mean, I'm still saying Blade Runner rules. I'm just saying I prefer the book, but for
wrong reason.
I can articulate why I prefer the book.
I gotcha. That was good. That's going to make me see it a little bit differently next time I watch it, I think.
All right. Sure. Well, Rap Game, thanks for coming on. It's been good to get to know you a little bit here and talk about one of our favorite artists. And I've sort of been a bit of a fly in the wall, but really enjoyed, you know, all of this. You guys had a really good time.
Yeah. This is fun, great. Man. Thanks for inviting me. Great chatting with you guys. And
of course, really, man. Yeah. And I'll anytime you see us. So anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime you see, if you ever see us do an episode on somebody you're interested in, you're like, hey, I got a take on that. Okay. Let us know and you can come back and
that'd be cool.
So nice. We got, you know, we're dropping a couple core episodes a month at this point. So
okay, nice.
Somebody will show up there too.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to see Roger Waters tonight.
That's gonna be interesting, man.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Rock and roll, talking about animals.
Sure.
All right. Cool. I'll ping you guys on my. Later.
Cool.
Alrighty. Okay.